According to a newly published Australian study, a common out-of-patent and therefore cheap medication, which is used to control type 2 or adult onset diabetes, may also reduce cognitive decline and the incidence of dementia, at least in people with diabetes. But who knows, maybe more broadly. The medication is called metformin, and the lead author on the study was Professor Catherine Samaras of the Garvan Institute in Sydney. Welcome back to the Health Report, Cathy.
I'm very grateful to be here.
Well, wait till the end. We might not be grateful at the end. No, but seriously, thanks for coming on. Tell us about this drug metformin. What does it do?
So I think we are being naive if we think we really know exactly what metformin does. We've thought for a long time that it is something that makes insulin work better, an insulin sensitizer. But about 15 years ago, some really great research actually showed that it has a major glucose lowering effect by lowering the amount of sugar that the liver produces, particularly overnight. But we know from some of the other studies that it has a lot of other effects. For example, it may even change the way our genes are wired. So it can change the way our genes are expressed, epigenetic changes in response to taking the medication. It probably changes the gut microbiome. There's quite a bit of research suggesting that it alters the gut microbiome and therefore may have anti-inflammatory effects through changes on the gut microbiome. There's some interesting research looking at how it might change the way the body ages. So there are processes that lead to cell death, including the way proteins fold and the way that they are arranged in the cell that allows the cell to function really well. So that it may explain some of the data around people living longer when they are on metformin. And there are some interesting animal research studies that have suggested that, you know, that is actually a true phenomenon rather than just a simple observation that has been made.
And there are trials going on to see whether it prevents cancer.
Well, there are, and there have been two randomized control trials looking at one, prostate cancer, and secondly, breast cancer, showing that if metformin is added in to standard therapy for these two cancer types, then the outcomes were better in the longer term. And that also fits with some of the data around modest weight reduction in patients who have cancer who are overweight, that they also improve outcomes. Metformin can cause, in some of the studies, a 3 to 5 kg weight loss. So there are some very, very interesting benefits to metformin that are not simply quarantined, if you like, by diabetes alone.
So this study was not a trial. You were observing, you know, the University of New South Wales has this long-running study observing people as they age and doing brain scans and what have you, and you were observing people with and without diabetes and the people and the medications they were on with diabetes and doing very intensive developmental tests on them to see whether how their cognitive function was going.
Correct, Norman. The Sydney Memory and Ageing Study has recruited over 1,000 people from the Wentworth area. And all of these people have very generously come in for days of testing. So we look at their metabolic profiles, we look at, they answer a whole range of questionnaires about their health, about having falls, about what kind of work they've done, what kind of environmental exposures they may have had in workplaces, how much weight they've put on over the years. And in addition to that, we've been looking at vascular measures, we've been looking at a whole range of measures in blood to do with inflammation, and then the cognitive testing, which is a real strength of the study.
And what did you find when you looked at whether or not they were taking metformin?
So it basically removes the effect of having diabetes on cognitive aging.
So diabetes speeds up cognitive aging.
Correct.
And if they're on metformin, it seems to slow it down to normal.
It makes it exactly like every other 76 to 96-year-old that was in our study who didn't have diabetes. So it completely removed that effect that you see, whereas the people who had diabetes and were not metformin had that very much steeper loss of cognition that you would that we know about in type 2 diabetes. But the dementia data were really the fascinating things for me. Because of the very, very rigorous assessment of cognition, we could come up with a dementia diagnosis. And the team involved in this are international experts at dementia. So they involve Perminder Sachdev and Henry Bradati and their team of neuropsychologists. And so all of the events around dementia were adjudicated events, which means you have to very, very, very rigorously look at all of the data and go, yes, this person has crossed the line and meets a diagnosis of dementia. Prior studies have been just like assessed by telephone call. Oh, yes, you've got a dementia diagnosis. So that's really not very sound research methodology. I think we've probably had one of the most rigorous assessments of cognition to date in this kind of observational study. So it really was very, very clear cut that we saw these profound reductions, 80% reduction in the rate of dementia in people with diabetes who were on metformin.
And presumably, if it was cause and effect, it was due to those other effects that you were talking about, inflammation, effect on the immune system, goodness knows what else.
Well, we tried to control for as much as we possibly could to make sure that any effect that we were observing could be attributed to metformin. And hopefully you'll talk about it, Norman, but you can't say for sure. But we controlled for age, obviously, for the presence of heart disease, blood pressure, cholesterol. There's even a gene that increases the risk of development of dementia called apolipoprotein E epsilon 4. It's a mouthful. But we even controlled for that so that we couldn't attribute what we observed to other potential factors. But there are always biases, aren't there, in these observational studies?
So given it is an observational study, but done in this detail, is this ready for showtime? In other words, it's going to be very hard to repeat this study. It's going to have to be done over years and years and years down the track. Are we ready to use metformin now on the basis of a study like this and some of the other findings out of metformin?
No, I think we need the randomized control trial.
So we're going to wait a decade, have we?
Which is happening. Well, the randomized control trial will start as soon as the pandemic settles and we can start recruiting people. So we put our data into the National Health and Medical Research Council and were fortunate enough to be awarded with grant funding to look at this in people without diabetes. Because for me, we know that the use of metformin in diabetes it should be there as a foundation medication for all people with type 2 diabetes. We know that from data that show lower cancer rates.
Yeah, but the blockbuster effect is if it works in people without diabetes.
Well, that's what we need to do the randomized control trial in. We need to do it in people without diabetes.
Kathy, thanks for joining us.
You are very welcome, Norman.
Kathy Samaras, who is a theme leader in healthy aging at the Garvan Institute and is an endocrinologist at St Vincent's Hospital in Sydney. And we'll have a link to some details about metformin, because it's not free of side effects such as nausea and vomiting, and has some serious side effects, although they're a bit rare.